Shane Fish. I'm going to talk about work organization factors associated with patient handling injuries among nursing personnel. And I do want to recognize Lisa Pompei, one of my co-authors on this, as well as Doug Myers. So compared to workers in other occupations, nursing personnel are at high risk for work-related musculoskeletal injury, and much of this injury burden is often attributed in part to the physical demands of patient handling tasks. And nurses aides who do much of this direct patient care are at particularly high risk. So it's not surprising that many of the current efforts to prevent injuries often focus on reducing physical exposures associated with the job. This might include no lift or minimal lift policies, specialized lifting teams, or patient lift equipment like you see here. But physical exposures don't explain all of the injury burden. And many non-physical work factors have also been associated with injury, including adverse work schedules, poor staffing, low social support, low job control, and high psychological work demands. And so today I want to talk to you about a study to explore the association of some personal and workplace characteristics with self-reported musculoskeletal symptoms as well as patient handling injuries among nursing personnel. And because work tasks and demands could really vary by job title, I do want to highlight some differences in patterns of work organization as well as our outcomes of interest between nurses and nurses' aides. We are here today to talk about issues related to vulnerable workers. I don't want to discount all nursing personnel as not being vulnerable, but within nursing personnel, I do want to highlight differences between nurses and aides. To give you a little bit of information, nurses' aides are predominantly African American. There's a growing immigrant population as well. They have low educational job requirements. In North Carolina, the area in which this study is taking place, the average wage is under $10 an hour, and there are few opportunities for advancement. And while these characteristics are important, I do hope today to address some other issues. I want to talk to you about why they're considered vulnerable workers and what factors contribute to their vulnerability. So our study participants come from Durham, North Carolina, some from a large medical center and others from an associated community hospital. And a little bit of a background, a few years ago at both of these hospitals, there was a stated policy shift on the inpatient nursing units to what was called a minimal manual lift environment. And the policy was put into place to provide for the safety of both patients and staff during patient handling and to reduce the work intensity involved with patient handling. As part of the policy shift, mechanical patient lift equipment as well as lower tech devices were introduced on these inpatient units. Our study data were collected in the early phases of an ongoing four-year evaluation of this policy shift and these interventions at preventing patient handling injuries. We'll take a look today at data from baseline questionnaires as well as from focus groups. And I'd like to start by highlighting some results related to musculoskeletal disorders that we collected from the baseline questionnaires. So we asked those who participated, in the last 6 months, have you had low back symptoms more than 3 times or lasting a week or longer? And about half of the respondents reported having low back symptoms, and these symptoms were more prevalent among aides than among nurses. For those who reported they had symptoms, we asked a series of questions. We asked how often they had low back symptoms. As you can see, most were daily or about 1 time per week, and frequency was slightly higher for aides than for nurses. We also asked how long their symptoms usually lasted. Most of these lasted less than a month. They were pretty short duration, but I do want to draw your attention to the last column over here. 8% of the nurses and 16% of the aides reported symptoms lasting greater than 6 months. We asked those with symptoms with low back symptoms to describe how bad their symptoms had been. Most were mild to moderate. We saw that they were slightly more severe for aides compared to nurses. In addition to low back symptoms, we asked participants about patient handling injuries. In the last 6 months, how many times have you injured yourself as a result of moving or assisting patients? And an injury was described as something for which they had to modify their work activities for the rest of the shift or take medication as a result of the incident. And moving or assisting patients was defined as helping patients move in bed, get in and out of bed, or move around on the unit. And a third of the respondents reported at least one injury in the previous 6 months. Among those with an injury in the previous 6 months, 12% missed work. About a third sought medical care, and this could have been from any source. It didn't have to be from the occupational health department. And of those who sought medical care, two-thirds did not file a workers' compensation claim. Now, we did see some differences here between nurses and aides and found that aides were actually more likely to seek medical care for their injuries, and they were also more likely to file claims compared to nurses who also sought medical care. Now, I want to show you a few numbers. We use log binomial regression techniques to calculate some prevalence ratios and 95% confidence intervals, and found that injuries were more prevalent among aides compared to nurses, as well as among older and more tenured workers. And I'm not going to show these data, but in our adjusted analyses, the relationship with job title as well as years worked in inpatient nursing still remains strong. So musculoskeletal disorders were prevalent among these workers. We did conduct focus groups, and pain was just described as part of the job. I think as a nurse, we all learn not to be honest with ourselves. The pain that I would have 2 years ago, I would rate it 10 out of 10. Now after 2.5 years, it's 3 out of 10 to me. My body just adjusted to that pain. I didn't hurt this morning because I had 3 days off, but give me to Wednesday. When I wake up, my whole body going to be hurting. They also talked about issues related to working with injuries, specifically about when their coworkers are injured. And they talked about trying to give lighter assignments and being very protective. But this was a difficult balance because you're in a work environment where you need your team. And so we heard comments about it being a burden. That means you have the heavier patients on you. That's a lot of work. It affects the morale of the staff. One nurse said, "I would rather someone stay out rather than not be able to take a full assignment." They also talked about the newly introduced lift equipment not being helpful for staff on restrictive work duty. The equipment was described as heavy and cumbersome, and even if you were to want to use the equipment for a patient handling task in the patient's room, you might have to move the heavy bed out of the way or move a heavy chair out of the way. To get an idea about the physical nature of the job, one of the questions on our baseline questionnaire asked about patient handling activity per shift. As you can see, it was a regular part of the job for most all of these nursing personnel. The frequency was greater among aides, which wasn't surprising. And while the frequency was related to the physical burden that they incurred, patient load also played a role. And these are some of the things we heard in the focus groups. The participants characterized the patient population as being more obese, having a higher acuity, and exhibiting faster turnover. They also talked about staffing levels being tighter than a rubber band, and this affecting not only issues related to them as healthcare workers, but also patient care. There was variability in day and night resources as well. They talked about being stretched pretty thin with additional job responsibilities, such as being encouraged to join committees at work or provide leadership for adjunct and often transient initiatives. But physical exposures aren't the whole story. On the baseline questionnaire, we captured information about various work organization factors. These come from the JCQ. Many of these factors stood out in our bivariate analyses. And in the multivariate analyses, we found that job dissatisfaction remained significantly associated with patient handling injury among these workers, as did a measure that we created that incorporated low decision latitude as well as high physical demand. With respect to these factors, we saw differences among nurses and aides. Aides reported significantly lower decision latitude And in the focus groups, this was really echoed. An aide from surgical ICU stated to us, "If you notice, nurses, they like they supervise us, and I tell my nurse, you all the nurses, not the supervisors, you just the nurses. I think that's what it is, because they give them a lot of authority over aides. Nurses have a lot of authority. You're basically working for the nurses." Aides also reported significantly lower coworker support. Now, on these inpatient units on which we're studying at the two hospitals, there were typically 1 to 2 nurse aides per shift. Some units might have an aide on night shift, but generally this was just during the day shift. And so when they were answering questions on the questionnaire related to coworker support, like competence or friendliness or helpfulness to the aides, their coworkers are really the nurses that are there on the units, whereas to the nurses, they've got other peers at their same level around them. So this was not surprising. Aides also reported significantly higher physical demands. An aide in Heart Services said, "That nurse aide had worked all that day, like I said, by herself. Did all the work on the unit, all the baths, all the AccuChecks, all the beds, everything. And then that nurse, the charge nurse, had the nerve to tell her, 'Now you can go to the unit next door and help them out.'" Aides also reported significantly higher job insecurity and higher job dissatisfaction. We had an aide from general surgery who spoke about, she was a nurse aide and spoke about trying to get out of that job and do something different. And she told us, when you go in the morning, depending on who the nurse is, they have a certain expectation from you. If you have 10 nurses that have all those expectations, some days it can be totally impossible. You feel like you're always disappointing somebody, so that's what I don't like about the job. So a few concluding points. The work performed by nurses' aides is definitely crucial to the fulfillment of direct patient care tasks, but the relative lack of autonomy in the workplace really make them less able to cope with the physical, psychological, or social burdens that they face, and also prevents them from being able to cope with subsequent health consequences. Now, we saw that compared to the nurses, the aides had lower decision latitude or job control, as well as lower coworker support. And this really makes it difficult for them to be able to adjust or modify their work on a daily basis and also on a weekly basis. And it might be part of the reason we saw they were more likely to seek medical care or to seek workers' compensation claims for their injuries. Low back symptoms and injuries were prevalent among this group of workers, and aides were at higher risk than nurses, and that remained even in our adjusted analyses. And our findings suggest that there are advantages to considering various research methods to reach vulnerable workers. Unlike what Lisa presented, we collected these baseline questionnaire data first and then began with our focus groups and were really sure about what questions we were asking. But our response rate on the baseline questionnaires was very low. It was about 35%, and it was lower among aides than it was nurses. And so we really weren't capturing a great number of people, and we weren't able to ask questions about a lot of different issues. So the focus groups provided us a great venue to be able to do that. Also, interventions aimed at reducing disorders should focus on physical and psychosocial factors related to patient care. Thank you. Any questions? We don't, and I should have acknowledged that. These are cross-sectional data. I would like to make the argument that it doesn't matter. You know, job dissatisfaction is a huge issue, but as far as interventions go, that's something that we'll be looking at in the longitudinal study. We don't. That's a great question. I know that that's been talked about in some of the research, and we don't have that information. Yes?
I guess I'm wondering about the decision to set this up in comparison between the nurses and the nurses, or whether we vote for out of that comparison, because it seems like there's so many differences between nurses and nurses in terms of jobs and the work they do, but just that work that I don't know what to make of it.
two great points. In addressing the first one, this is a large undertaking at both of these hospitals, and it's not easy. The lift equipment is on these units. They're trying to reduce injuries, but it's a culture change. And the differences that we're seeing in nurses and aides, you know, who's adopting the equipment. We're trying to follow this intervention over time and see how effective it is. And so how you approach nurses and aides with this intervention might need to be different. From a research standpoint, we learned pretty early on we need to have focus groups solely with aides and solely with nurses because of issues like this. We weren't able to get at these issues with the two groups combined. And so for us, that was a really interesting finding from a research standpoint. As far as the insurance goes, all of the workers in this university and healthcare system have the opportunity for insurance if they're full-time workers or working more than 20 hours per week. And about, I think it's 90% subscribe to one of the healthcare plans, and I don't have differences among nurses and aides. I don't know. And I don't know how many come from, I mean, we do have a float pool at these hospitals, both an internal and an external float pool. And from the standpoint of research questionnaires, we didn't ask that question. We were limited to an extent on certain questions we could ask because they were anonymous, and that those might be potential identifiers of participants. Can you speak up a little bit? No. No. The same things. Right. Oh, definitely. Definitely. And in our follow-up questionnaires, we asked many more specific questions about the equipment and policy in general, as well as each specific piece of equipment. The ergonomics division is heavily involved in a lot of the processes related to this policy change. And as far as training goes and getting people more aware of it on the unit, they've used a train-the-trainer approach. And so peer leaders are deemed transfer mobility coaches on the units. And they're taught, they're in an all-day session to learn how to be a coach and how to be an effective team leader. And then they go on to their particular nursing unit and teach other staff. There's a competency check-off and everything. So that's how that's disseminated. Not that I know of. Some units will trial pieces of equipment, and whether that's something that's brought up by an aide, I'm not sure. There are definitely some nurses' aides who are extremely active on their units at promoting the minimally annual lift environment.